We good to go, Sam? All right, welcome back. After a short break, we are now moving to page 85 with a recommendation on page 86. The topic is fees and charges for 2022-23. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Move, Councillor Westwood. Seconded, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. The report we have in front of us is to consider the adoption of Council's fees and charges for 2022-23. The majority of fees and charges have been increased by 3%, as outlined in the long-term financial plan that was approved by councillors just prior to this agenda item. I guess in increasing fees, we need to consider the cost of delivering those services. CPI at the moment for Hobart sits around 5.8%, which is considerably more than the 3% we're proposing to increase fees and charges by. I know that's not helpful to those that need to pay the fees and charges that we have before us, but we do have a responsibility to our residents to make sure that we're recouping the cost of the services that we deliver. And there are a lot of services that local government delivers. So I'm happy with the report and the fees that are presented to us tonight, and I will be supporting the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Noting a couple of the fees are higher than 3%, and a lot of those relate to the waste fees, and I'm wondering if that has an impact regarding the waste levy and changes around that.
Breen or Reeve? What do you think? Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, yes, I can answer one. Yes, predominantly it's to do with the waste levy that's coming into play next year, and we've tried to reflect those in our fees going forward.
Thank you. So noting the Bruni, so I had them highlighted and something happened to my highlight. So the Bruni Island, there was quite an increase on Bruni Island, the fees there, and also was it 16% in regards to general waste? Just wondering, you know, for those ratepayers who don't have a rubbish collection service, what's the equity in that, I guess?
Mr. Reeve.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. I guess the reason, it's probably easier to actually look at the actual fee as compared to the increase there, because if you've got a low fee and you put rounded up to a dollar on it there, it suddenly becomes a big increase. So it becomes a little bit misleading, I guess. That's the first thing, and I think the second thing that's actually worthwhile noting as well is that for our waste we will also incur transport costs as well, and as one of the councillors mentioned there, the transport index has gone up extremely high. It's running at about 20-21%, so that's going to start to reflect in some of our contract rates that we're paying as well, and we've tried to reflect these in the fees and charges as well at the same time.
Okay, thank you. Question in regards to the community hub, and I note that we have been mixed fortunate around having the COVID vaccination clinics there, which has provided great revenue. But as we want to have this space as an activation space, I guess we just have to meet the requirements of the fees, but I'm just wondering any thoughts around a barrier that this might present to any of the community groups or user groups.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I do note that within our fee waiver and reduction policy that the respective managers do have provision to look at particular hardship situations that may preclude, for example, hire of the community hub. So, there's occasionally a situation where there is a genuine need to reduce or waive a fee, and we do have provision within our policy to do that where necessary.
Thank you. And one of the sports centre charges, just a note on the, I think it was the squash courts, have we ever thought about having a family fee? I know there's like a there's a youth sort of fee and there's an adult fee, and it's like, I think it was 26 to 16 or something. There it is. So a casual adult is $25, and then a junior and student is $16. I'm just wondering, you know, to encourage families more, could we introduce a family perhaps at $20 as a compromise? I'm just wondering, have we thought about anything like that? I know it's getting to the nitty-gritty, but I just looked at that and the cost of living and everything like that, and encouraging health and well-being. I just thought that could be a nice little compromise.
It's just me.
Through you, Mayor, not something we've looked at. You know, we could give that consideration for future years. The difficulty with a family rate starts to become how many, who qualifies, and particularly when you're looking at squash and there's limited numbers that can use a court, it does all become quite complicated.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. I've got a couple of questions I just wanted to ask on a couple of them. I note on page 96 of the agenda, so it's page 10 of the fees and charges schedule, under waste, the 240-litre mobile recycling bin replacement fee has gone down by 14%. So it's gone from $106 to $91. So was there an error in... I'm confused. It's great that we reduce something, but I'm just wondering why.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Yes, so we've looked at the real costs of doing and replacing those ones there, and that's more reflective of what the real costs actually are at the moment. Okay. For doing that. I guess the other point to actually make there is that we tend to try and look at encouraging recycling as much as possible as well at the same time. So when we get opportunities, we'll actually try and be a little bit easier on the recycling side, if you like.
Thank you. But that's just for a replacement bin, is that correct? Yep. Mm. So if somebody's... I think... do you get one free one if your bin is stolen, but if it keeps happening, you have to pay, or what's the...
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So normally, if your bin is stolen, or if it gets continuously stolen, I haven't come across that before. generally, it comes unless you've got a grudge with a neighbour or something like that. But generally, we don't have that problem. Sometimes it'll become damaged, or it'll disappear, or the previous tenant might take it with them. So generally, we'll look at replacing that. It's more when people actually want to, if you like, have two bins for whatever reason, if you like, and they still can do that, but it does mean they have to pay for the joy of it as well at the same
okay.
time.
Thank you. On the following page, page 11, item number 194, which is steel, it doesn't say what quantity. Is that per cubic metre, or it just says steel, whereas for the Bruny Island disposal of steel, it indicates per cubic metre. So what's the... There's no quantum here for that line item.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So for Beretta, it'll be tonnage because it all goes across the weighbridge. And Bruny, we don't have a weighbridge there, so it's done based on volumetric.
So does that need to be added into that to clarify in this document, because it's not clear at the moment?
We could add that in there,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. On page... Sorry, let me just find it. Page 18 and 19. Page 18. All the cat registration fees for Bruny Island and pound maintenance, etc., have been deleted. Thoughts? Anybody? They've all got lines through them. There was an increase, but they've all got black lines now.
To put it out, got away.
So we're on page 18.
So through you, Mayor, my assumption would be that they're being removed, but I'd have to confirm that.
But we still have the bylaws for cat management on Bruny Island. Could you find out about that? Or the increases have been put in, but then it's all been crossed out. So And my other one was on page 21. The towing of abandoned vehicles has gone up from $150 to $195, so it's gone up by 30%. Is that just reflective of the real cost now of employing somebody to remove an abandoned vehicle, or Mr. Smee?
Yes, Mayor, it's reflective of cost recovery.
Thank you. Okay, I think that's all the ones that I had. Yep, no, I don't have any others. Councillor Grace.
Yeah, just I won't support this, but don't get upset about that, because I've looked at this not all that closely. I haven't had time, but I don't like increases. I like to see we do more work on trying to prevent increases, and there's some things in this that really could be looked at. But just one item, Madam Mayor, sorry, 95, page 95, fees. Plant heights, number 8. We never get a costing. It's listed, I can't read plant. Can you read it, Councillor Cordova? Right at the bottom here, those things
might. Councillor Wasser, are you okay?
Yeah, we...
Okay. No, that's all right. Feel free to step out if you're not feeling well.
Sorry, anyway, it doesn't tell us. It just says the plant hire charge is internal. We know they're internal, but they should be listed so we know, like, the grader, how much an hour the grader is, how much an hour a roller is, and plus the labour, so we can honestly guarantee to our ratepayers that we believe they're getting a fair deal, because I'm not sure what our costs are, but sometimes they may be a lot higher than hired stuff.
Mr. Breen is the lucky winner.
Yeah, three in there. So, look, essentially it says plant hire charges are charged at internal rates particular to each item. So quite clearly we've got a pretty extensive level of plant, so I don't think it'd be practical to put the figures in for each individual plant item. However, we do say it's basically we're just covering the cost of operations and replacement of the item of plant. So I just don't think it would be practical to put all the plant items in with their various charging figures.
And the reason I ask it is because the fact is too that you see so much plant, and I've quoted before, with a road grader, if it does 4.5-5 hours a day, it's a day's work, but the time they get down to south and come back, and what are we paying? $115, $120 an hour. We should be looking at, if that's the case, the council should be looking at those costs and saying, well, is it feasible for us to do that? Because the councillors have no idea. I mean, they've listened to me now for some of them for 4 years almost, and some of them a lot longer, but these are the things that I can't come to terms with, is the fact that we don't know what our internal plant is charged at. And we sell them off with only a 4,000 or 5,000 hours, and we lose so much money on them. And I look up at the auctions. But anyway, that's the question. I won't go on and on about it because it's not going to make any difference. But I believe that we should get a list. We did years ago. We used to get a list of it.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a further question. Just a bit confused about curbside waste collection. So I note on page 10, 177, there's an admin fee, but one thing I've spoken about in workshops is in regards to some members of our community, and even myself, I put the rubbish bin out once a fortnight due to, you know, being able to do soft plastics and recycling and composting and everything. And there are some members in our community that, you know, don't even use a curbside collection because they produce, like, no waste. So I'm wondering where... I know we have two different bin sizes for general waste collection. Where is it... Yeah, I can't see where those bin sizes are. and I think we talked about, I raised the matter of could we even consider a smaller bin size, and I just wondered, yeah, where are the bin sizes in here, and had we at all thought about maybe a smaller bin size?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, I guess they come up in a different area to this, so that's normally comes up as our, when we put it up to councillors through the budgeting side of things here in terms of what we'll charge per bin size for each resident in the service area there. This talks a little bit more about replacement bins and so forth there. So the question you raised, and I think it might have even been raised at a recent workshop as to whether or not it's a possibility of having smaller bins, yes, it's something that we could certainly look at. Probably the lowest size bin that I'm aware of is a 60-litre bin, so at the moment we've got an 80-litre bin, which is the smallest one. I guess one of the problems with the smaller bins here is they become a little bit more unstable as well when you put them out there, particularly in wind conditions and so forth. But it is something that we can actually have a look at going forward to see whether there's more options for people who maybe a single person in a unit, or maybe they just are very waste conscious and therefore don't actually produce a lot of waste as well, so it just gives them some more options there. But this is not the forum, this is not the area that actually picks up the charging for each of the service areas for the bins there. That's part of the rates resolution.
Okay, thank you, but there will probably be an increase. Is that the 2.8? Yeah, just to understand the how that works then, in regards to there will be an increase probably on the curbside collection.
Yes.
Yes,
through me, yes. So there certainly will be some increases within the curbside collection there based on a number of different factors there. So it'll be based on things like the waste levy, it'll be based on things like the increased transport costs there, and just the cost of actually delivering that service there to allow us to to carry out all our waste management activities. So, so certainly that will come up as part of the budget report to Council in June.
Thank you. Any further comments on fees and charges? If not, Councillor Westwood, would you like to sum up? No. I'll put the motion then, the recommendation as printed on page 86, moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? A show of hands is required. All those in favour? Yes, Councillors Cordova, Wass, Midgley, Fox, Street, Westwood and Reet. Those against? Councillor Grace. Motion is carried. We turn now to page 110, the financial report for April 2022, with a recommendation on page 112. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved, Councillor Westwood. Seconded, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. We have before us the financial report for April 2022. Council's underlying surplus is $3.1 million for April 2022, which is a $100,000 favourable variance on the budget for 2021-22. There are a few reasons for varying estimates, some favourable and some not favourable. I'll flag that I have one question about this item for closed session, please. As for that, nothing overly much to report in an update to this item. Again, just to thank my colleagues for their responsible financial management over the last couple of years when it has been somewhat uncertain in the external environment, and we're now entering a period where we are seeing inflationary pressures and obviously approving our long-term financial plan and soon to approve our budget. So I ask for your ongoing support in managing our budget responsibly, and I hope that you can see the outcomes of doing that in the report we have in front of us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of questions. The first one is about the grants recurrent being $2.4 million over budget. And I just wanted to know a little bit more about there's been $50,000, an operational grant for a netball feasibility study, which was, and I note that there's been a council media release on that about a week ago. But my question is around that. For example, it's said in the media release that the total cost of nearly $26 million, it's not a project that council can do on its own, so we need other levels of government to make this a reality. My question is, will the full amount, will the netball feasibility study, will we get to see, or will the public get to see what the terms of reference are for that feasibility study, the scoping document, like what will that feasibility study include or not include?
So the study's been done, it's been completed.
Oh, okay.
And that formed the basis of then scoping out what the potential upgrade to the sports centre would look like to incorporate the problems with the need to upgrade the netball courts. And that's where we came to the position that it needed to be, well, we had there were two iterations of the document. One was, unfortunately, the Rolls-Royce model, and so we had to scale it back a little. The second one would enable us to bring in additional netball courts inside, leave only two outside, address the safety issues there, but also provide for additional court space of multi-use courts for those places that we, or the clubs that are struggling to get rostered time at the existing sports centre. So it would upgrade the sports centre to an 8-court stadium, which would make it the largest in the state. But it's servicing a catchment area of about 100,000 people, we estimate, because, as I've mentioned previously, we have people from the Huon and from basically sort of West Hobart, even further afield, coming down, and from the Eastern Shore to use the centre. So, yes, that has been completed and a report done last year. Late last year. Time doesn't mean much to me. Early this year.
Great. Yep. Thanks, ma'am. My next question is about the $232,000 under budget for statutory fees and fines as a result of reduced volume of applications and limited subdivision activity resulting in less post-approval income. Is there any analysis about what, the reasons for that and what will happen? What's our prediction for the next little while? Is this as a result of inflation, or what's our analysis about why we've seen that reduction?
Mr. Breen.
Hi, through you, ma'am. Excuse me. So essentially, I think what we're seeing at the moment is, particularly in regards to housing and housing-related activity, is that starting to slow down significantly. And I think a number of people are starting to pull back on their plans and not proceed, because obviously the cost of materials is significant and the availability of builders is pretty problematic at the moment. So that started to show around about sort of November, December. Certainly January and February were very quiet months. We're starting to see a little bit of a pickup now, but we are well below the volumes that we've seen over the past few years. So look, the trend continues, it will have a bit of an impact on next financial year's result, hopefully not overly significant. We did pull back a lot, particularly on our post-approval income for the budget, but so it may have a little bit of an impact, yes.
Thank you. Final question through you, Mayor, is when do we find out if Tazwater will pay the full dividend or not?
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mayor, I've been reading correspondence as recently as today from Tazwater. All the indications are that we will receive full payment this financial year, including at this stage a special additional dividend.
Thank you. Are there further questions? If not, I will put the recommendation as printed on page 112. Sorry, Councillor Westwood, did you want to sum up? Thank you. It's moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We move now to page 133, implementation strategy of sports ground user fees, with a recommendation on page 136. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved, Councillor Street. Seconded. Councillor Fox is very enthusiastically waving at me there. Thank you. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. And I thank staff for the report. Thank particularly Mr. Wade for his work in this area as well. This is an important matter, primarily for me, Mayor, because it's a matter of equity. It's a matter of ensuring that we are recovering the same fees from our outdoor sports clubs as we do our indoor sports clubs, and recovering an equitable contribution from those clubs for the excellent facilities and sports grounds that are provided to them, more so the sports grounds than the facilities in this case. Council expends a significant amount of money on sports ground maintenance, as we well should. Sports grounds are an important part of Council's work, and they're an important part of ensuring that we have a healthy community having those facilities available. But it is fair that there is a contribution in addition to the funds that Council puts in out of our consolidated account from those clubs who use those facilities on a regular basis. That's been the case at the Twin Ovals now for some time, where both the Kingborough Tigers and the Kingborough Knights Cricket Club have been paying sports ground user fees. And it's only right that other clubs in the municipality who receive a similar level of service pay a similar user fee. As the report states, the introduction of these fees is not going to be a blunt instrument. We are looking at a 5-year implementation period for the first stage. I believe that the fees that have been mooted for that first stage are actually quite modest. And as I say, they are not going to be introduced all in one go. They will be graduated over a 5-year period. Notably as well, those fees aren't due to start until the 1st of July 2023, giving Mr. Wade and Mr. Smee a significant period of time to talk to sports clubs about the introduction of these fees and how they're going to be implemented and the club's capacity to pay those fees going forward, and how we can assist them to ensure that they are able to pay those fees going forward, as we will expect them to do if this motion is passed. So, Mayor, the motion before us is about equity. It's about making sure that users pay a reasonable fee, and this is by no means a complete cost recovery fee, but a reasonable contribution to the use of sports grounds that Council maintains. It's equity between sports clubs outside in different sporting grounds. It's equity between outside sports and indoor sports, where we take a significant contribution from those sports for use of indoor facilities. And I commend the motion to Council.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Wade and Mr. Smee, for the report and the time taken to consult and put together the items. I support in principle the sports ground user fees. I think it's really important that we do this for many reasons, as Councillor Street has said, and many other councils, not sort of the raw rural councils, correct me if I'm wrong, staff, but the more kind of city, as I say it, the higher rate based councils do actually have a sports ground user fees, and they have been implemented for quite a number of years. Hobart City Council as an example. I note in the report that initially came to council in regards to allowing staff to move further to discuss the sports ground user fees. Actually had a table that would have been good to be in this report, just to jog my memory to look back at it, but actually had a table kind of outlining the different fees across the different council areas. Also agree we need equity in sport, we need equity in the indoor and outdoor sports. We spend millions of dollars, and I think it's again when we, and I think in the budget conversation, Councillor Westwood said, you know, the tight sort of ship we run, the understanding of council finances, it's great now to state to many people that, you know, the amount of money that we do spend on turf maintenance, that people actually are quite alarmed at the amount that we do. And I often like to relate it to in the amount that we actually spend on the arts. It's quite a significant amount comparatively. I'd like to maybe look at the difference in that. But, you know, knowing that we do spend a lot of money in this area, we won't have this as a cost recovery, but it is keeping in line and creating some equity.
over the weekend, and I thank so much staff for answering emails out of hours. I just had some concerns in regards to the engagement with stakeholders and looking at our communications and engagement policy. And thanks so much for those conversations in regards to that. And I just wondered, as we have set the financial rate, it's pretty much essentially been set in this report and the recommendation, why didn't we talk to clubs about what we were thinking in regards to that fee amount and actually include that as part of that sort of initial conversation and consultation, as we call it?
Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mayor, I guess we could have done that, but we did want to come to Council first just to get Council's endorsement for the way forward. Given that this is quite a significant step for Council, we did want to get Council's in principle approval for the level of fees we're setting before we went too far in relation to our engagement with clubs. So that's been the primary reason. Certainly we could have done it that way, and as a management team we discussed the pros and cons of whether we bring this to Council now or whether we go to clubs with what is just a staff proposal, and in the end we decided no, it's best to actually get Council's in principle endorsement, and that enables us to go to clubs and say this is a pretty firm position of the elected members in relation to how we go forward, and then we can engage on a, I guess, a firmer footing than if it's purely speculative.
Okay, thank you. And in regards to the amount that is proposed, how did we come to that figure?
Mr. Smee.
Mayor, I'll let Mr. Wade answer that because he's the one that's crunched all the numbers on it.
Mr. Wade.
Through you, Mayor. Look, there was no rocket science about how we came up with the fees. Mr. Smee, in fact, in 2011, put a report forward where we were talking about $15 an hour, right, for a high fee. And as Councillor Street alluded to, we wanted to be really, we've used the words fair and reasonable. And so, look, I've got, and I'm happy to share with it out of session, but I've got, you know, a lot of council fees, and, you know, Brighton Council charge fees, Huon Valley Council charge fees, Sorrel Council charge fees, Burnie and Devonport charge fees. So it's not just the major city ones. And as Councillor Street alluded to, a starting point of $5 is extremely modest. Extremely modest. And if I use the example of the two clubs that have been paying, outdoor sporting clubs that have been paying sports ground unit user fees based on the hourly usage, the Kingborough Knights Cricket Club pay about $25 an hour already now, and the Kingborough Tigers pay about $24.15 or something. So they're around that $25 mark now, so we're suggesting some of the other clubs start at $5 as a pretty modest fee. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And also just some points around, so in regards to the quality of sort of the infrastructure and the facilities in regards to sort of the outdoor clubs, like there is really quite a diversity across the Kingborough Sports Precinct in regards to, say, looking at the facilities around the change rooms and the sporting grounds and things like that, like noting, say, for the Gormley Park, often that ground is closed due to the drainage issues, and I note that Little Athletics had quite significant challenges in regards to some of the drainage issues, I guess, associated with that. And the fact that these clubs are, some of these clubs are really working really hard and using some of their own money and lobbying for grants in regards to disability access, making shared spaces more functional and adequate storage. I guess sort of having that full picture, and sometimes, like I have heard from the Kingborough Lions Soccer Club, that they have put significant amounts of their own money in regards to sort of their revenue that they've received in regards to different updates and drainage problems and things like that. I'm just wondering, is all of those kind of matters taken into account as well in regards to the sports ground user fees, like if some clubs are putting some of their fees that they've, you know, some of the revenue they've got towards some improvements for the Kingborough Sports Precinct, will you be having a discussion with individual clubs regarding that and the sports ground user fees?
Mr.
Wade.
Hope
that makes sense.
I know, Mr. Steve.
Through you, Mayor, in response to the question, the majority of grants and income coming from clubs that have gone into sporting infrastructure has been towards their own facilities. And certainly in my time here, I'm not aware of any club that's put funds towards the turf maintenance. It's all gone towards club rooms, change rooms, practice wickets and centre wicket. So there's been no club funds, certainly in the past 12 years that I've been here, that have gone specifically towards the actual turf. And that's what we are proposing the fees apply to, bearing in mind that we don't charge rent along club rooms, again, other than at the Twin Ovals. So the response is primarily relating to the fact that, yes, we acknowledge that clubs have obtained grants and obtained sponsorship and in some instances put their own money in, and we do acknowledge that our power of voluntary work towards maintaining the infrastructure, but that work is very much directed towards their own club rooms that obviously benefit them rather than the broader community, and this is specifically relating to the turf maintenance as opposed to the associated infrastructure that comes with a sports ground.
Great, thank you. And as I said, I do support it, and it's absolutely essential, and for equity reasons, as Councillor Street has said. So if Council then implements this amount tonight, what's the plan moving forward?
It's just me.
Through you, Mayor. The plan is to undertake further engagement with clubs. We can now go to them with a reasonably definitive indication of what the proposal is and what the implications will be for clubs in terms of cost, and obtain their feedback. You know, if there are violent reactions, we'll certainly be coming back to council and reporting them to council. But the intent is, if council resolve this tonight, would be in effect to firstly inform clubs, engage with them in relation to what it's going to mean, engage with them in relation to, you know, the implications for them. But primarily to put them on notice that from July 1, 2023, you're going to be paying a small contribution towards the cost of the ground that you use, and you need to start planning for that now.
Thank you. Councillor Midgley, you've got Councillor Grace, then Councillor Fox. Councillor Grace.
Look, I think got the horse before the cart, to be quite frank. I think this is where, and I will say this quite clearly, that where this council is falling over in the last few years is the fact that it's not treating its ratepayers with respect. This should have gone out to consultation, talk to the clubs, because we're the ones, although it won't worry me, but the councillors will be the one that cop it once it goes out and there's been no consultation. Good example is, Mayor, is the bridge at Snug. If it had gone out to public consultation and people knew and seen the design of the thing and what was going on, even though when they pulled the old wooden bridge down, there was still nothing wrong with it.
Sorry, can we stick to the...
Well, the thing is, we're just not doing the consultation. I thought that Mr. Wade's position, and I wondered where that come out of field when he was appointed a strategic sport and recreation plan, I thought, oh, OK, well, this will be good, because he knows the industry. And I thought, well, he'll go and talk to the local sport people and feed us with better information, in lighting and all that sort of stuff. We don't know. But I'm disappointed the way this has come before the table.
So, Councillor Grace, I think you've misunderstood what's been said. I think you've misunderstood what's been said previously tonight. If you go to page 135 under point 7, communication and consultation, it highlights that since the 7th of March, now on the 7th of March, this proposal was before council and we had to make a decision as to whether this was something we wanted to go ahead with. Council endorsed that position. Up until that time, there was no point in any member of our staff going and doing consultation on something that council hadn't actually endorsed. When we made the decision on the 7th of March, after that, Mr. Wade has gone to every sporting club that would be impacted by this and talked to them personally about why we're doing this for the situation of equity between indoor and outdoor sports. He's allowed them to answer questions. He's given them the reasoning behind the user fees, reassured each of them that we would actually be not just introducing this in one hit, but doing it in a progressive way so it would be sustainable to the clubs. We had then a further presentation at the Kingborough Community Forum Saturday week ago that Mr. Wade gave a presentation and answered questions from community groups as well, because some of them occasionally want to have user fees that they might want to use a sports ground for activities, so we had a discussion about that. And after tonight, there will be further consultation with the clubs, because now we've got a recommendation in the report in relation to the scale of the fees, and so this is the point where this now continues. So it's not correct to say that there has been no consultation.
Well, certainly I haven't heard of any mayor, and I can assure you, even down in my hometown, I've not been told of any of this. In fact, I've been talking to the cricket club down there to see how they can increase their membership, how we can get the mini football club back down there. They might have one or two matches a year, not a lot. But anyway, look, I'm just pointing. My view is the fact that I believe that we should be doing more consultation with the community, particularly. See, so you look at Snag and Margate, Woodbridge, Bruny Island, and all those sort of people. We haven't got the facilities that Kingston have got. We haven't got those. We haven't even got a netball court down at Snug for the girls, where we said we were going to put one on the tennis court down there. You know what I mean? I'm just saying we that's what people are talking to me about. And that's my view, and I'm sorry whether it's gone down the wrong way or what, but I personally and strongly, and I strongly support the both gentlemen. I'm not being hypocritical to them, but I'm just saying this is what we need to do.
Thank you. I don't know, Mr. Wade, would you like to add anything to the process of consultation?
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Grace, certainly I actually visited in person Channel Football Club and Snug Football Club, so we had a really healthy discussion about what's going on down there, and Kettering, Woodbridge, so yeah, thorough. And I understand that. But as we stated in the report, every president of the sporting club that I spoke to understood and acknowledged that the reality of the sporting sector is that they pay for use of council-owned facilities. So there was a broad acknowledgement. But what this report is about, they wanted to know, well, how much and when.
Well, as I said, I just pointed my view, and when I read $3 million or whatever we're spending on sport, per year, and what we get down our end of town, and I'm talking from to Middleton right through to Bruny Island.
Okay, are there any further contributions? Councillor Fox. Councillor Fox has the call.
Just two questions.
Thank you.
Firstly, I support the motion. People's using halls in our community pay for that rental as well, and it's quite significant, and that's often for small family groups. And also, I think the one question that I'm interested in, or point that was made, was that we're paying for turf maintenance here, but a lot of the clubs have got club rooms, and do we charge for those club rooms?
The answer was no.
The answer is no.
Answered that earlier.
Well, that's a concern to me. But at the same time, we might not recognise... Well, obviously in the chart, we recognise the number of people using these facilities and how much we might get in revenue from them. But the numbers in these clubs could vary considerably. And will that be taken into account in the user charge, or is it just going to be a flat rate for the whole year?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. The proposal is a flat hourly rate, and I guess if numbers fall, then the number of hours that the club will need will also fall accordingly. So, you know, if a club currently has 10 teams and they need to train for 500 hours a week and their numbers fall such that they only have two teams, then I would expect that the number of hours that they're going to actually need to hire from council would also fall. So I think in that regard, the hourly rate works in terms of being reflective of the capacity to pay because it's linked to usage. And just in relation to club rooms, the reason we don't charge for club rooms is it's far more complicated than the actual sports ground. The sports ground's provided and maintained by council. We have club rooms that have been built by the sporting clubs, and they do a lot of work maintaining those club rooms. So I think for council to apply a rental to a building that a club has built and maintained for many years would be a far more difficult sell than it is for sports ground user fees.
And may I add too that a long time ago I introduced the fact that the sports clubs don't have to pay for water, and I'm really pleased that Tas Water has continued that generosity to this day. So at least Mr. Smee's nodding, shaking his head.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I regret to inform that we are in fact paying for the water usage on our sports grounds. It's within the Kingborough Sports Precinct alone. Our water bill per annum is $100,000. It's not captured within the turf maintenance budget, but it is another reason why we need to be recouping something from our sports ground users.
In that case, I feel that $5 per hour is not enough, and that if we're going to increase that by 50% in the next year, and concurrently, I think maybe we should start at a higher rate to make it more palatable rather than having a continual increase over 5 years. Is that possible to reconsider the maths on that?
I think there were some concerns about the capacity of the clubs to pay more. They need some time. It's one of the reasons why it's been delayed, to allow them some time to consider, you know, their fundraising activities or registration fees or how they will implement it. I don't know that there'd be much appetite around the table for going out with a higher fee, given that a ballpark, no pun intended, a ballpark figure of around $5 an hour has already been floated to them, unless Mr. Wade would like to make comment.
Through you, Mayor, I think this is stage one, and we refer in the report to stage two, so I think your comments are really valid, Councillor Fox, but I think that's probably our stage two process.
Thank you. I've got Councillor Midgley, then Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one quick question around, will a sports ground user fee policy then come to Council at some stage?
Mr. Wade.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, most definitely. Very soon.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Watts, then Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. The response that I've got is very similar to what's on page 135, that the consultation with local sporting clubs have indicated an acceptance, although very reluctantly. I know the financial situation of a number of those clubs there, and I am concerned that their viability will be shaken by this. I think the other aspect, of course, is that we must continue to attract particularly children into sport, and if we fail that, I think we've failed our community. The capacity to pay concerns me, and I look at the largest club affected, which is the Lions Football Club, $12,000 first year, second year $18,000, the third year $24,000, up to $36,000. That's on top of what their expenses are now. And that is going to put them in a very, very tight situation. The situation to overcome the cost may well be to reduce, halve, or only have an occasional training period to bring the cost down, because at the end of the day, mums and dads and kids and all other players are going to pay this bill from obviously sources. I also know that the last couple of years in particular, clubs have remarked on a general basis that the grounds have never looked and never been better. So they are acknowledging the work that council provides into those grounds, and certainly they're not taking it for granted and appreciate the work being done. I do believe that we're probably the only municipality in the state that provides grounds free. I could be wrong in that. I'm right, getting the nod. Near enough to right.
through you, Mayor. Of a reasonable size council, right? So the really small councils, we got 29 obviously, but the reasonable size council all charge sports ground user fees.
Thank you. Which confirms what I was trying to get across. And certainly our fees proposed are in many cases a lot cheaper than the other council areas around us, well, around us being statewide. I would like to move an amendment, and that is item A4, to amend it to read, year one commencing the 1st of July 2023, user fees to be charged at $5 per hour, with future use fees being reviewed and set by April 2024. And likewise, on item C, a further report be provided to Council in the 2024 relating to the next stage of implementation. And if I do have a second, I'm more than happy to explain where I'm coming from and where I'd like to go.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Seconded by Councillor Grace. Did you have that? No. Could you repeat that for Mrs. Morton, please?
Yes, certainly. Year one, to add on after year one commencing the 1st of July 2023, user fees to be charged at $5 per hour, and then with future use fees being reviewed and set by April 2024. And paragraph C, a further report to be provided to Council in 2024, so just a change of year, relating to the next stage of implementation, so the word second becomes next.
And
those fees that you've got, Amanda, for years two and three, etc., to be deleted. Why I'm suggesting this, Mayor, is that I am concerned that a number of clubs are going to find it very difficult. I do believe, however, that it's only fair that there is a fee applied. But what are we going to do if four of those clubs next year just simply say, look, we can't do it, and they fold? And you can certainly guess that on the front page of the paper from Hobart that there would be something in there that the council has forced this or those clubs to abandon by not considering, etc., etc., etc. So I'm alarmed at that. As I indicated, there's a number of clubs that I'm aware of that will struggle to make those payments. The other part is that by accepting this amendment, we can certainly talk to clubs and tell them that the year one is going to be $5, ideally year two it'll be $7.50, year three it'll be $10, etc. So we're not getting away from that concept. So we are, I suppose, continuing consultation. But we're also going to pick up if there are major issues, because the last thing I want to see is four or five of those cricket clubs or others just suddenly fold. What happens if Little Athletics were to fold? Those are the type of things that I'm concerned about. Certainly we can get to those clubs what the long-term ambition is, but I think Rome wasn't built in a day, and I don't think that we ought to build Rome in a day. I think we need to go step by step. It does give the council of the day next year the opportunity to review, and if agreed, then the $7.50 could be placed on that year and continue along with what's in the proposal. So it's not really changing the proposal, it's just a safeguard so that if something blows up, we can counteract it there and then, rather than lose a sporting identity or identities from our municipality.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Councillor Cordova, you had your light on earlier on the substantive. Are you now, you're speaking on the amendment now?
I actually had a question, but yeah, happy to speak on the amendment, but I haven't spoken on the last one.
Yep.
So my question was actually, and it's relevant to both, when do we get to read or see more about what Stage 2 looks like? When do we see the detail of Stage 2?
Mr. Wade.
Through you, Mayor. The intent was in 2027, based on the first one. Obviously, the timeline will change if the amendment's supported.
Thanks. So, yeah, that means that there's no detail about what Stage 2 could be yet, obviously, and that is okay, I guess. In terms of the amendment, so I'm just thinking about it now, and I look forward to my councillor colleagues giving their opinion on it, because at the moment I'm yet to be convinced that it's not a redundant amendment, in the sense that fair and reasonable is the intent behind all of this, and so we're going club by club by club anyway to make sure that every club can handle it, and it's quite clear that none of us want to see any club fold or struggle. That's not the purpose of this at all. So I just wonder why we're doing the amendment at all, when it's been made abundantly clear that it's really not necessary. That's not this idea is not to try and drive clubs into the ground. It's the opposite. It's to try and make, you know, sport sustainable in Kingborough from a council perspective and also from a club perspective. And my concern is that by scrubbing out all of the other proposed fee increases year 2, 3, 4, 5, what's the opportunity cost there of doing that? Yeah, so I just, at the moment, I think that I'm going to vote against the amendment because I feel like it's redundant, but I'm really interested to hear what others have to say. But I'll just reiterate that no one wants to see any club fold. We're going to do, I don't think that that's actually a risk in this case because of the consultation that's about to take place. Fair and reasonable is what this is all about. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Street on the amendment.
Thank you, Mayor. I think Councillor Cordova is absolutely on the money. I think that the idea that we would need the amendment for the purposes put, I disagree with, because it's always going to be open to any council to revisit this if there is a serious problem. And I think that by removing 2, 3, 4 and 5, we actually do the clubs a disservice. Mm. because what we're trying to do is provide them with the roadmap, and this is where we're going, and this is where we need to get you to. For all the reasons that I outlined in my substantive contribution, this is where we're going and this is where we need to get you to. By doing this to a future council, we're setting them up for failure. We're setting them up to end up having a decision again, and sometimes there are right things to do and wrong things to do, and this is the right thing to do. Again, for all the reasons I've already outlined, it's the right thing to do. And, you know, the oysters and the prawns are never going to vote for a seafood buffet. It's just not going to happen. But it doesn't make a seafood buffet not delicious, you know. It's the right thing to do. And, yes, some sports clubs aren't going to be over the moon about it, but that doesn't mean it's the wrong thing to do. And if some clubs are struggling, then it's always going to be open to a future council to revisit this. But by taking it out, we're setting that future council up for failure.
Thank you, Councillor Street. I'd just like to add, I feel similar to you and to Councillor Cordova about the amendment. I thought that it was actually... I would have thought it would be useful to the clubs to have that list of future years and what they can expect. It gives them some certainty, some ability to plan. And the reality is, for a lot of these clubs, they do already do fundraising, and you can pull in $1,000 at a budding sausage sizzle on a weekend. So it might be then looking forward and saying, well, we need to... That's the sort of thing that we need to do to accommodate this. But I wouldn't want to take out the level of detail that we had in there previously, because it could lead them to believe that in year two they might see triple that amount of $5. I think it's far better to have it in there so that they have an idea of what to expect. They can do some forward planning, and certainly, I think that's a more sensible approach to it. So I will not be supporting the amendment. I've got Councillor Grace, then Councillor Westwood on the amendment.
The only reason I supported Councillor Wass was the fact I thought it may have been a fair way, so we're not going to put the hooter into everyone. It gives Mr. Wade and Mr. Smee time to go back, talk further to the clubs, and come back with what you call the stage two program. It gives you time to rethink, and it gives the clubs more time to be able to speak to our staff. But that's the reason why I supported Councillor Wass's motion. I just thought, it gives a bit more time, consultation-wise.
So just to clarify, Councillor Grace, there will still be consultation. The amendment doesn't change the consultation that will take place. It doesn't increase it or decrease it. It just means that the clubs don't know what amount they can be expected to be charged in year two.
But staff can talk to them, because there's nothing stopping staff going to them and saying to them, right, as we get that, and I think this is where we're coming from, Councillor Wasby. So it's given them a warning that you've got to make a further report to council, and the fees will possibly be this at that time in up to 2007. I think that's the more fair way to do it. But anyway, whichever way goes, Madam Chair, as councillors have said, yes, we've certainly got to address and look at the policy. But I'm just thinking that motion is not... It's not at the end of the world.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. On the amendment, I don't support the amendment. I think that the comment made at 8.1 about mitigating the risk of clubs becoming financially unviable if user fees are set too high is really relevant in this instance. This can be mitigated through a phased-in approach with adequate lead time before fees are introduced to enable clubs to prepare for the additional operating cost. And I think what we have before us in the original motion provides a really clear pathway, a really clear indication of council's intent, and that does mitigate that risk of clubs becoming financially unviable, because they do have a very clear and defined pathway of where we're heading in terms of charging those fees.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. Councillor Fox.
Just to raise awareness of item B in the recommendation, that there will be an annual review of the impacts on clubs to be undertaken as part of the annual tenancy application procedures. So I think that is probably as good as we can expect. I just wanted to remind councillors that this doesn't kick in till next year. There's an election this year. It's a 5-year contract, so the whole council cycle will
change again.
Again, there'd be the second council change over. So I'm wondering whether that is equitable, or whether we should give the next council after this one an opportunity to have the review rather than skip another generation, if you know what I mean.
I guess it's a situation that any decision of council can be revisited via a notice of motion by future councils. The fact that we're endorsing this tonight doesn't mean that it's going to be like this in its entirety for the next 5 years. So it would be incumbent upon the next council to bring a notice of motion should somebody wish to do that if circumstances change. I'm going to put the amendment. Councillor Wass, did you want to sum up on your amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I believe this amendment doesn't detract from the original intention before us on page 136. As I said then, years 2, 3, 4 and 5 can certainly be still discussed with the clubs. I think it provides a golden opportunity for consultation to walk with them hand in hand rather than saying this will be it, to gauge their reaction as to what issues they face and to gauge reaction to what council may face. Now, if, for argument's sake, the Kingborough Lions, and I use those again, if their usage hours drop down to 400 hours instead of 2,400 hours, that would have an implication across the board as to what we're trying to achieve. It just means that their players won't be trained. And I think we've got to look at all aspects. And I would rather work with, rather than tell them what's happening and then not reviewing it again for some time, or what happens when a club just simply says, we can't pay, fold us. So that's where I'm coming from there.
Thank you, Councillor Wass. I'm going to put the amended motion. It's as outlined on the screen. All those in favour of the emotion, you can tell it's getting late, I've started to lose my words. All those in favour of the amendment to the motion? Those against? No. Show of hands is required. All those in favour of the motion is Councillors Grace and Wass. Those against is Councillors Cordova, Midgley, Fox, Street, Westwood and Reet. The amendment is lost. We're back on the substantive motion. I've really lost track of who's spoken already and who hasn't. Councillor Cordova, you wanted to speak on the substantive motion? No. Councillor Midgley.
Just another question in regards to the point B, that it says annual reviews of the impact on clubs, just to be very reassured that if clubs can only afford $5 per year, then you too could also be $5. Is that correct? Rather than $7.50, and so on and so forth.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, the last thing we want is to see a club fold, but I do think it's important that clubs have a clear indication from council as to what is the expectation in relation to a fee, and I guess there is the potential for an easy out for a club just to say, oh, well, we can't afford it. There does need to be backed by the commitment from council to stay the course. There needs to be a commitment from clubs to put in a genuine effort to implement measures to cover the operational expense, and that's what we would seek to see as part of the annual review process, which is when we do check in with clubs as a necessity in relation to renewal of their tenancy agreement. So, I would reiterate that it is the last thing we want to see is to put a club out of business, and if a club is in genuine hardship, we would be reporting that to council along with the measures to support that club.
Thank you. And just one quick other question around, would you say that a lot of the time clubs would then just put their user fees up and the costs would then go to members of the clubs? Is that how, as well as sausage sizzle fundraising, but would you say that most clubs would then just put their user fees?
I guess that's a decision.
Registration fees.
That's a decision for the clubs. It's not something that we can...
No, we can't predict that, but I'm just saying in regards to the... through you, Mayor, in regards to staff involvement in many sporting clubs, would that be something that they possibly could predict? Because that's just my biggest concern, if increasing going forward, is that it costs to the families and prohibits participation in sport.
Through you, Mayor, I think that is a reality, but I think given the numbers we're talking about, the reality is, you know, an extra $10 or $20 on an annual registration fee per member. It's certainly not unusual for clubs to have a component of their registration fee that is going towards the cost of using the ground or sporting facility that they use. I mean, I certainly know in athletics there's an annual fee, and you can break down that annual fee and you know exactly how much is going to the local council.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Very briefly, because I know I just wanted to just thank Mr. Wade and Mr. Smee for the work that they've done in relation to this. It's not an easy decision that we're taking tonight, and I don't think it's one that we take lightly at all, but it is the reality of the fact that we have a complete situation of inequity between those who choose to play in indoor sports and those who choose to play outdoor sports. So I did a rough calculation that for, say... if the Summerlees Eagles Cricket Club, who use their ground for 400 hours a week, if they were actually indoors, they'd be paying $18,000. Under the model that we've got here, they would be paying $2,000. So, you know, this is where it is a higher cost for registration for things like futsal and netball and basketball and all these indoor fees, because historically we have had sports fee charges, or higher charges for the Kingborough Sports Centre facilities, because the level of maintenance associated with that. Likewise, there is a significant level of maintenance required, not only for the sports centre but for the sports grounds, and at the moment we're not recouping really any money for them. So, and I think hand in hand with that is that there's a level of expectation from the community now about the quality of the facilities that we provide to them as well. And I know Councillor Midgley did raise Gormley Park, and that is listed as a priority on the CapEx program for the budget that we'll be considering shortly, because we understand that there have been issues there with the quality of the turf, which has impacted on the Little Athletics Club throughout the season when there's been unseasonal rainfall. So, you know, there is an expectation that we will keep putting money into our facilities, and I think, therefore, it's not unreasonable to expect that there is some more equality in user pays. We are one of the few councils that haven't been charging any fees since 2005. So I think it's time that we did this. So thank you to staff who have worked on this, and I support the recommendation going forward. Now, it was moved by Councillor Street. Would you like to sum up?
I think I've topped out at seafood-based metaphors.
It will go down in the best quote from tonight's meeting. Thank you very much. I will then put the recommendation. It was moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Fox, with the recommendation on page 136. All those in favour? Against? Kay, I'll have a show of hands, please. All those in favour is Councillors Cordova, Midgley, Fox, Street, Westwood and Reet, and those against is Councillors Grace and Woss. The motion is passed. We turn now to page 137, motions of which has been given. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no notices of motions received. Still on the same page, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder for those items, please. Moved Councillor Midgley, seconded Councillor Westwood. All those in favour? Against? The motion is carried unanimously. In accordance with Kingborough Council Meeting Audio's Recording Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. Open session of Council adjourned at 9 p.m.